Yeah, my name is Dustin Porter, born and raised in Williams Lake, British Columbia, and I am an adventure filmmaker.
So how did you get into adventure filmmaking?
Oh, that's kind of a big question, but I'll answer it as briefly as possible. I spent years as a video producer for Princess Cruise Line, traveled all around the world, worked in 54 countries, circumnavigated the globe twice. And then when COVID hit, I unfortunately lost that job because it totally crippled the cruise industry. So I was left with what to do with my life, either go to Vancouver and try freelancing or stay in Williams Lake and try and get into the mill or mine industry. And I had lived in this motorhome in between cruise ships. So I figured I would take my professional film background and the motorhome and start what I consider to be a professionally produced travel vlog. And within the first year, it kind of took off and became profitable. And that brings us to, 2.5 years down the road now, it's my full-time job.
Okay. So you, it's a one person team then, like you're doing all the research, the shooting, editing, narration, voiceover, all that sort of stuff. It's completely you.
Correct. The traveling, the filming, the editing, the producing, everything is one man show, Dustin Porter.
Oh my gosh. So do you do it all out of the Moho?
Yes, I do. Yeah. A lot of people think that this motorhome is way too big, and justifiably it is. It is a little bit too big, but I have converted this thing into the Moho studio. I am a traveling production studio, podcast studio, everything on the road.
And how do you search? So how are you searching for and finding these abandoned places that you visit? Because that's one of the playlists on your YouTube channel. And so, yeah, how are you finding these places?
So all of the abandoned places, it all comes just from my personal interest of anything historic. So I was searching out these places many, many years ago. And as the channel has grown, I've just kind of fallen into the industry. And now British Columbia, we have a relatively small population throughout the province. Everything's kind of condensed into the lower mainland. So I kind of have the whole demographic of these abandoned and historic places has kind of fallen on my lap because of the YouTube channel. So what I can't find through my own research, people will send me. So the channel's in a great place right now. A lot of the places I'm pursuing come from audience recommendation. I know so many of these secret spots, and I now have the resources to get out and find new ones. For example, I was just in Kincolith for a few days and just could see a bit of ruins from the beach, and there was enough there to justify pulling the boat on shore. So I pulled it up, and it was the location of an old cannery, and there was so much left in the forest there because, first of all, to get to Kincolith, it's very remote and it's the end of the road. Then you need a boat to get across to the other side. And then there's just a few hints of what is maybe left there. So I'm in a beautiful position now to be finding these things that haven't been yet recorded and then producing some sort of story to record them.
Mm-hmm. What are you hoping to share with people or that people take away from your videos seeing these abandoned places? And often too, we're on Indigenous land. So what is, what's your relationship to kind of the philosophy of people seeing these abandoned places or these, this land being bought and sold?
Well, I'll touch on a couple different things there. I really enjoy exploring in the Northwest because a lot of it is Indigenous land, and the Indigenous are the only people in our country trying to preserve history. We're in this position in British Columbia and Canada where our country is so young. We're less than 200 years old. And for whatever reason, our government doesn't want to pursue preserving that history. And this is the only chance that we have to preserve the early times of our country's history. So I'm trying to get out there and be the one to preserve that. And on top of it, just living this lifestyle is so fulfilling for me, being able to be on the road and exploring and experiencing so many of the different cultures and the different things that this world has to offer. So many people save it for retirement and then they're not physically able to get out and do a lot of the things. So that's what I'm trying to promote with the channel, preserving some history and just promoting a fulfilling lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Was that, was that luck? Was that circumstance? How were you able to craft that?
Oh, it was a bit of everything. When I got my job on cruise ships, I had fibbed a little bit on my resume, but it got me that job that I was so hungry for. I was the first and only video producer in Princess Cruises history to get that job without a degree. But I was so hungry for it, I knew I would outwork everyone else there, and I did exactly that. Now, going into the YouTube industry, it's such a competitive field. I knew it was going to be really difficult, but I don't really have another option with my life. I can't go back to a regular 9-to-5 after getting paid to travel the world. So I took a big risk in the YouTube field, and I had some savings from working on cruise ships. I'm debt free. So I decided to just risk it because I didn't have much other choice. And it really comes down to a little bit of luck and a whole lot of work and just getting through that, being able to build up enough of an audience where you can become profitable and then maintaining that workload until you become, I mean, more than profitable, because it, once you get there, you've just touched the surface. You have to stay there for a long time before you're in a comfortable position.
Mm-hmm. So I guess more specifically, I did want to talk to you about the Mount Layton Hot Springs Resort. Mm-hmm. So I guess, could you tell me how you found out about it? And then also what it's like to walk through the abandoned resort?
Mount Layton Hot Springs Resort is a spot that's been on my list for years. Like, that's a big location that you can see right from the highway. So it's been on the recommendeds list from viewers for, I mean, since the beginning. It was just getting all the way north to pursue that story. Being from Williams Lake, that's a long drive up to Terrace. And last year I was heading north, so that was my first story of the north. And it's really difficult to find the owners of that place. So I just went right there, told them who I am, what I'm doing, was able to get contact for the owners. And I think the fact that I was pursuing a professional product instead of wanting to just explore, they gave me access to their property. They gave me a full tour of the location and then gave me free rein to film it for the whole day. And walking through that location is, it's unlike any other location because it's so pristine. From the day it was shut down, it's remained private property, closed off to vandals and stuff. So walking around there, it's unbelievable. You can see the facility that was in operation and enjoyed by thousands of people for years. And then you can see the half of the resort that was under production but never actually finished. So it was wild walking through there and getting to see that firsthand.
Yeah, that must be something that's kind of unique as well, is that it is rather untouched for some of these abandoned places. You know, once someone finds it, it's like, I think it's natural to feel almost like you can claim a place when it's abandoned and you get to spend that time there by yourself. So I guess, what are you feeling when you're walking through there? What, you know, what are you feeling and what are you thinking? Or do you just look at it from a videographer's point of view and can't get out of that perspective?
Yeah, that's a great question. Oftentimes when I'm at a location, I am looking at it as a filmmaker. And that came from years of training on cruise ships, because when I was filming short excursions, my whole first contract, I had a hard time focusing on the job. I focused on how much fun I was having. Mm-hmm. Now I'm very focused on the job. So I don't really appreciate the location until I'm back editing, especially if I have interviews. That's when I really appreciate and learn about the location. But walking around it, this one is unique because it's not vandalized. And I think that's just a product of being in the north. There isn't the dense populations of people, like, I hate to say it, but in a city looking for things to do. Like, in the north, there's so much to do. People aren't really going and breaking windows and spray painting things. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see that as a change, because it's pretty rare that you find something that has been, quotations, abandoned. Within a couple of years, usually it's been destroyed by vandals.
Yeah. Was there any other point that's unique about the Mount Layton Hot Springs that you think that our listeners should know about?
Yeah, I think this is one of the most unique places in all of Canada as far as hot springs go, because it has major untapped potential there. They're sitting on 900 acres that backs up to Lake Else Lake. So you have unlimited fresh water, and combine that with the hot springs, we should have all greenhouses on that property. It could be year-round produce, and it could feed all of the Northwest. That's what I think is unique about that place, and it's grossly underutilized. They do have one greenhouse set up there, and it's wild. You walk into it, it's all kinds of fruit and vegetables and exotic stuff. They have grapefruit trees that produce grapefruits all year
Oh
long.
my God.
It's a really neat thing. And kudos to the owners that have it right now. They will not sell it to somebody that doesn't have the right intentions for the property. They've had huge money offers from bison farms trying to buy that property just to put bison on it, and they've shot it down. They're waiting for somebody to come with a business plan for a wellness retreat, or the example I gave with the greenhouses.
Yeah.
So hopefully somebody will come in with money, and you will need money to start that, but it would be a huge business.
Yeah. So what's your next abandoned destination, or are you allowed to give away or tease anything about it?
Well, I'm Alaska bound right now. I'm currently in Stewart, BC, so that is on the border of Hyder, Alaska.
Yep.
That's not the Alaska I'm looking for. I'm going up through Anchorage and Whittier. I can't give away too much this trip because it's finally the first trip where I'm redoing a route. So I have a whole lot of locations kind of in the works right now. But the next video that will be coming out, I do produce a story on Hyder, Alaska, really neat little town isolated within Canada. And then I take a motorbike up to the old Grand Duke Mine. So those are two very interesting places that will be coming out, I think, tomorrow, actually.
Oh,
I'm
nice.
hoping.
I got to assume you got Hyderized then.
I did not get Hyderized because she wouldn't let me film it. So I'm
Oh.
gonna do it. Like, personally, I'm gonna go do it just to enjoy it. Because last year I came here and they would not let me through the border no matter how much I tried.
Yeah.
So this year I definitely will get Hyderized before I leave. It's just lower on the priority list right now because I'm not able to film it.
Yeah, for sure.
And you need a bit of time if you want to go get Hyderized. Like, you have to do it first and then go do something else because it's a weird thing. Like, their only bar, they expect you to go in there, do a hard alcohol shot, and then cross an international border crossing. So I have to kind of structure my day accordingly for that.
It makes sense. That makes total sense. Okay, great. Now, was there anything else? Was there anything that I didn't ask that you think is important for listeners to know about either Mount Leighton or about yourself and your whole perspective on life?
I'd like to just have a message to all of the people that get out there and adventure these locations. On the channel, as the channel gets bigger, more people are going out and enjoying these adventures that I'm putting out there. And at the end of every video, I have a slogan: take nothing but pictures, leave nothing but footprints. It's something that's, it sounds kind of silly, but I've always lived by that because if everyone that visits these places takes something away, it doesn't take long until there's nothing left. And those artifacts that are there, whether they're worth money or not, that's what preserves the history of the location. So I always like to make that apparent when I'm going out on these places, not to take anything away. And I hope that the audience and the other adventurers do the same because as the population gets bigger, people are finding more and more places. If everyone takes these ruins, the history is gone forever.
Dustin, thanks so much for taking the time. I'm sure you're busy, and I'm glad that I got you in a place where you have good reception as well, because the call was nice and clear. But I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, no, this is great because when I leave Stewart, I will have no cell phone reception until I'm in the Yukon for like 1,000 kilometers. So
Yeah.
this is the one chance.
Good.